Well, friends, I'm so glad to be with you all this morning. It's been so neat to listen to Jordan talk. Thank you, Paul. I'm going to sit down. Everything's okay. I just, you know, three of these to go. Why risk making anybody nervous? But I just wanted to say that, you know, I grew up in this congregation too, and Jordan and I had talked before she was going to speak, and I think so much of what she said just resonates with my own heart, with my own experience, and so it's got me so reflective even of my own journey, and just remembering what an amazing group of people you are. So to be able to come here today and to share with you about this biblical principle of service and to think about all that you have meant in my life is really simply an opportunity just to speak back to you everything that you have always taught me throughout my life. This congregation has modeled not just for me and Jordan and so many of our young people, but so many people, probably thousands of people in this community, that saved people do in fact serve people. So I really just can't tell you what a joy it is to just be here. It's kind of hard to sit down for this sermon, but I'm going to do my best and stay put. But to help us out, so this morning, as Paul said, we're jumping into the book of Acts, and this is one of my favorite books in all of Scripture. Acts is just this incredible story of the birth of the early church, and it begins right where the Gospels leave off, right? So Jesus has been raised from the dead and is about to ascend into heaven, and what's extra relevant for us this morning is that he promises the disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come and be with them once Jesus ascends. So the beginning of our scripture this morning, the portion before what we're going to read in chapter 2, we hear about these phenomenal moments of Pentecost. And so this, remember, is when the Holy Spirit arrives and all of these people are gathered together and they start speaking in foreign languages, languages they've never even known. And all of a sudden, the early church jumps from scripture says 120 people to more than 3,000 people in one day. Now, that may not be an exactly precise number, but I think the point that the author is trying to make is that we have a powerful and a transformative Holy Spirit that is very active in a faithful community of people. So this morning, that's really what I want us to focus on, to recognize that that is precisely what the early church is. It's what we are, a faithful community of people. And so now the scripture that we're about to read is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And we're given this sort of first glimpse of what it was like to live life together in this community of faith. Again, remember, this is a group of people who have witnessed these incredible miracles of Jesus, right? These are people that were alive when Jesus was alive. They saw Christ resurrected. They saw Christ ascended. They experienced that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Talk about a mountaintop experience, right? You know, where you come back from something and you're just all jazzed up. Only now the challenge is for the early church to learn how to live together in God's world day by day, but maybe without all of that drama. And I think what we have is this truly remarkable picture of what life could and perhaps should be like for us as believers in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read the scripture this morning. The words will be on the screens behind me, and you're welcome to follow along. So they, the disciples and believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they would sell their possessions and their goods, and they would distribute the proceeds to all as anyone had need. And day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with glad and with generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, that's not a very long scripture passage, is it? But it's really, really full of good stuff. I mean, what an amazing picture we get to see of the early church. If you look at the painting on the cover of your bulletin and on the screens behind me, I think you see this incredible picture, this beautiful image of what that early community of believers just might have looked like. This incredibly diverse group of people who were gathered together because of their love and their commitment to Jesus Christ. And not only that, there are people gathered not just for the ones who are already in their circle, but for everyone. Scripture says for all, anyone who had need. So the scripture does indeed serve well to guide us for these next few weeks, because as you know, as Paul indicated, our theme this month is to step up and live these five biblical principles. And as we consider the life of the early church, it's easy to see how these principles are present in the life of that community. You can see a kind of a review of those inside that inside front cover of your bulletin. But I want you to think about that as you heard these principles modeled in the scripture. We find service in that these early believers are not only taking care of one another, but they're distributing to others and sharing with anyone who has need. We find presence in that they are with one another and they are with their community on a daily basis, worshiping God together every single day. Can you imagine that? Every single day. We find prayers in that they are devoted to prayer on a consistent basis. They are praying together. We find witness in that they praise God and they have this goodwill of the people, and there's evidence of that when God is adding to their numbers. And finally, we find gifts because, again, they are sharing all that they have with anyone who has need. All of their resources were shared among one another in the community. The Common English version of Scripture reads it this way: the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the community. They devoted themselves to shared meals. And they devoted themselves to their prayers. So if you want, you know, a roadmap for how to live out these five biblical principles, then I would encourage you to read and pray over this section of Acts 2 every single day. This story of this first community of believers offers a lot of challenge to us, doesn't it? But I think it also offers us a lot of encouragement, kind of all in one space. And I know it's probably easy sometimes to think that it might be difficult to relate to people who lived way back then, thousands of years ago. We may be tempted to think that the times were simpler, maybe. I know I hear people say the good old days a lot, and we think that life maybe was a little bit easier back then. But the thing is, life was far from simple for the early church. They lived under a brutal, very brutal foreign occupation. They were this religious minority within a religious minority. There wasn't exactly great opportunity for economic development or for promotion and work. It was actually an incredibly stressful and difficult time. And I think that's important for us to recognize today, because we too live in an incredibly stressful and difficult time, don't we? We live in a time where we hear a lot of anger and frustration and fear. Unfortunately, we live in a time where we also hear a lot of blame. At this point in time, one of the most tempting sins, I think, for us to fall into is that of accusing and blaming everyone else around us for anything that is wrong in this world. And I don't know about you, but it just makes me so incredibly sad to see the ways that that kind of anxiety and fear can absolutely consume us, can't it? Now, to be sure, there are some terrible things happening in our world, and there are things that we do not have any control over, and most assuredly, we ought to be in prayer, and we ought to be asking God daily for wisdom. But friends, we also ought to be seeking out God's word, because in this passage this morning, we see clearly laid out before us what a proper response can be when we are facing all of these struggles and difficulties. I think what's so special about this passage, and really all of Scripture, is that it's filled with stories of these incredibly faithful people. faithful people who are sinners, just like you and me. They're people just like you and me who are trying desperately to hold on to God. They're people just like you and me who are trying desperately to figure out who God is calling them to be. And yet, so many of the people that we admire in our scriptures are people who, when they fail, they do not blame others, do they? No, they seem to find this incredible energy to take the initiative and responsibility to be or to become the incredible people that God has created them to be. It's like they believe God when God said, I have something special for you to do. And they're doing this in their own corner of the world, trusting that in being faithful with what they have and with who they are, that God will take care of the rest. And I just feel like that's such an important reminder for us right now. And in this particular day and time when we're overwhelmed by divisions and name-calling and blaming, especially in this political season, we really need this example of people who are committed not only to God, but they're committed to one another. I bet there were some people in that early band of the church that did not like each other very much, but they were committed to one another. And they were especially committed to people who were not already inside that community. That painting that you see, I love it. It's titled, We Are All One in Christ. And it shows that we are, in fact, similar, that we're all made in God's image. And yet it also shows this incredible diversity that God has created each one of us to be unique. There is no other you in this world. We each have gifts to be shared with each other and with this world. And the church in Acts reminds us that we all have a part to play in being the community and the people that God has created us to be. And you know, these five biblical principles that we're sharing with you over these next few weeks, this is not just an opportunity for Paul or me to get up here in front of you and talk at you. No, we want this to be engaging with you. Rather, God is reminding all of us that God does not just ask us to come to church on Sunday mornings or to volunteer at the soup kitchen on Thursdays. God is certainly glad when we do those things, but God is asking for all of us, all of our very selves. God wants to be real and relevant to you in every single aspect of your life. And God wants you to delight in participating with God in your life. So when we focus each October on the ways that God is moving in our midst, when we take time to hear from people like Jim Baker and Jordan, people in our own community, we are reminded that God's love and grace and this call to service are not just for Sunday mornings, but for each day. That we get that wonderful opportunity to open up our eyes. We wake up and we look around us and we get to go out into this big, beautiful creation of God and we get the chance to love it well. Saved people serve people because they know that all of life is a gift. And what do you do whenever, you know, you're wanting a gift so bad, you can think about Christmas time. You've just got that big thing that you had on your list maybe as a child. How did you react when you received that gift? Did you not have just this overwhelming sense of joy, of gratitude, of excitement, and then maybe later on in life, maybe even new purpose? That is what belonging to God and to the family of faith mean. When Jordan mentions that this church has been a family member to her throughout her life, my goodness, you guys, what an important reminder for us to continue to support and encourage our young people and really all people who walk through these doors in that very same way with unconditional love, with great hope, and with absolute expectation. Friends, today, as we think about what it means to belong to the community of faith, I want you to know that we are, in fact, deeply connected with that first church in Acts 2 thousands of years ago. Sure, we cannot all live in intentional Christian community, sharing everything in common and eating every single meal together, But we can, as the church, continue to offer space and to offer opportunity for people to connect. We can and we already do offer time to focus on those priorities for that Acts 2 church. If you think about it, we do take time to study scripture together, don't we? And we take time to serve one another and our community. And we take time to share a meal together. The first Sunday, at least, of every single month, and a lot of Wednesday nights, we take time to pray with one another and to pray for this world. And if you don't believe me, Paul kind of hinted at it earlier in the service. I wanted to share one clear example of how I see a group of thriving Christians in this church doing their best to be the people that God has called them to be. So we all know that October is also pumpkin month for us here at Cokesbury. We are the pumpkin church in Pensacola. We probably need to get t-shirts made or bumper stickers or something. We talk about pumpkins a lot here at Cokesbury. Some of you may be tired of hearing about them, but you may not know all that goes into getting those pumpkins here and the various just phenomenal ways that powerful and transformative Holy Spirit we heard about in Acts 2, that Holy Spirit is moving through this entire operation. So to begin with, and Paul mentioned it, these pumpkins are actually grown in cooperation with the Navajo Nation on a reservation in New Mexico. And while they're there, they use these farming methods that are environmentally friendly. They provide fair wages to a community of people who have been historically marginalized, who have struggled their entire lives. Talk about living into that Acts 2 call of devoting oneself to the entire community. Did you know that there are elements of prayer, lots of prayer, and grace all over this pumpkin patch operation? The company we work with covers all of the production and transportation costs of the pumpkins until we finish selling them. And I don't know about you, but I think that really fosters from the very beginning of our relationship just an attitude of grace and of trust. And I'm sure many of you know how much prayer goes into all of this. I promise you that every single person on our staff has been praying for a timely arrival of pumpkins last week. We were praying that enough people would show up to unload them. And I can assure you that we will continue to pray that each person in this church might respond to taking just 2 hours out of the next few weeks, even just one shift, that will support our youth and also reach out to our community with love and kindness. And were you there Wednesday night? Hopefully you're seeing pictures behind me right now for the pumpkin unloading. What a clear picture of the Acts 2 church. People who have been touched by this congregation in so many different ways showed up to help. There were people from every single different service. There were people who mainly come on Wednesday nights, people who mainly come to a support group, Bible studies. There were people who are not as comfortable coming into the sanctuary for traditional worship. People we haven't seen in weeks just showed up and got right in line to help. And then you know what we did at the end of the night? We shared communion. We had a meal together, didn't we? It might have been in the form of pizza and cookies and cold water, but we were present with one another, despite our very different and beautifully diverse backgrounds and ages. We all worked together, and we served our youth and our community when we unloaded those pumpkins. And as we also were led in beautiful worship, we provided this incredible witness to our community about the commitment and love that we know in Jesus Christ. So friends, we have the opportunity to continue to serve this community throughout the next month. And I want to challenge each of you, as you look to fill out your service card, and that's this little extra card that's sitting in your bulletin right now, I want to challenge you guys to think not only about these next few weeks, but certainly about the year ahead. What are the ways God is calling you as a saved person to serve people? You don't even have to get specific just yet. We're going to hand out time and talent sheets with details in a few weeks. But right now, we're just asking you today to commit to service. And you do have a great opportunity in these next few weeks to respond by sitting and serving with our youth in the pumpkin patch. Church, simply put, we need you. God needs you. This community needs you. This world needs you to be for them the family that you have always been to one another and to young people like Jordan, a family who, like the church in Acts 2, is present and available, caring and compassionate to everyone around them. So as you guys prepare to come forward to present your commitment to service today, I want to conclude our time together by sharing with you my daughter Emma's favorite book. Now, it's going to be a miracle if I get through this without tearing up a little bit, because it's so good. But it's called God's Dream, and it's written by Archbishop Desmond Tutu. This is a man, if you don't know, who suffered terribly during the years of apartheid in South Africa. And yet he's a hero of mine because he's a man who has offered this world so very much hope because of his faith in God. So this book is filled with all these beautiful illustrations. So we have them on the screen behind me. And as you listen to this story, I want you to imagine that you have crawled into the lap of someone in your life who loved you the way that God loves you. Picture that person. And I want you to hear this story as if God was writing it to you, remembering that God has entrusted us to help God's dream come true. So here's God's dream. Dear child of God, what do you dream about in your loveliest of dreams? Do you dream about flying high or rainbows reaching across the sky? Do you dream about being free to do what your heart desires, or about being treated like a full person, no matter how young you might be? Do you know what God dreams about? If you close your eyes and look with your heart, I am sure, dear child, that you will find out. God dreams about people sharing. God dreams about people caring. God dreams that we reach out and hold one another's hands and play one another's games and laugh with one another's hearts. But God does not force us to be friends or to love one another. Dear child of God, it does happen that we get angry and hurt one another, and soon we start to feel sad and so very alone. Sometimes we cry, and God cries with us. But when we say we're sorry and forgive one another, we wipe away our tears and God's tears too. Each of us carries a piece of God's heart within us, and when we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. God dreams that every one of us will see that we are all brothers and sisters. Yes, even you and me, even if we have different mommies and daddies or live in different faraway lands, even if we speak different languages or have different ways of talking to God, even if we have different eyes or different skin, even if you are taller and I am smaller, even if your nose is little and mine is large, dear child of God, do you know how to make God's dream come true? It is really quite easy. As easy as sharing, loving, caring. As easy as holding, playing, laughing. As easy as knowing we are family because we are all God's children. Will you help God's dream come true? Let me tell you a secret. God smiles like a rainbow when you do. Amen. Friends, will you stand and receive this benediction? I want to encourage you to hold your hands up. Look at your hands for a moment. This is going to be an interactive benediction. Think about this, that Christ has no other hands but your hands now. So offer your hands, offer yourselves, your very lives to every person and every place to which he calls you. Now I want to encourage you to look at one another and know that you are God's dream. the Acts 2 church. You are the community of believers, and you are led by Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us that there is nothing in all of creation. There are not principalities or powers. There's nothing from the past. There's nothing in the future that could prevent the power of that love of Jesus Christ. That is the power that God has given to each one of you. And now I want to encourage you to turn and face the doors to this church. So turn all the way around. Friends, you are God's church, and that out there is God's world. Indeed, there is nothing in all of creation that can stop the love of God from going out to God's world. So as you leave this place, I pray that you would go with faith and with hope and with great courage to help God's dream come true. Go in the power and the peace of the resurrected Jesus to serve all of God's children. Amen.